Hi guys, it's Seth, and I'm back once again. We can change the name of my podcast to Sports, Games, and Ghost Stories with Seth. Had a cute little picture of me hugging my son, Caleb Spencer Holland, who I love very well. I like to give some shout outs to some people. I like to give a shout out to my brother Drew Downs, a member of the 2000 and as well as the 1999 University of Mobile Falcons baseball team. And I also like to give a shout out to Sean Sawyer and David Everson, also members of the 2019 and the 1999 University of Mobile men's baseball team as well. Please keep shining your prayers since he's going through a hard time. I like to cover some interesting topics. The biggest topic today, I'd like to cover, first of all, what's going on with the University of Montevallo men's basketball team. The Gulf South Conference, courtesy of www.gulfsouthsports.org, has named the finalists for their basketball tournament as University of West Alabama, Valdosta State, University of Alabama, Huntsville, Christian Brothers University located in Memphis, Tennessee, University of West Georgia, not sure where that's located at, Delta State, Lee University located in Cleveland, Tennessee, and Union University located in Jackson, Tennessee. Montevallo finished with a 9-19 record in the NCAA, 5-13 in the Gulf South Conference, and they have not got a bid to the men's basketball tournament. This is the second straight year that they have not gotten a bid to the men's basketball tournament. What is going on here? I talked to my brother, Drew, last night at length about this, and he believes that Coach Young has had an easy Coach Young had an easy time of it in the Peach Belt Conference, where he made several tournament bursts, and really his only competition was with Columbus State. Now that he's in the Gulf South Conference, he's got real competition in West Alabama and Valdosta and UAH and Delta State and all. And it's been harder for him to keep up. My brother also said they may need to change his recruiting practices. The ladies, your small about ladies, are 12-14 in NCAA and 8-10 in the Gulf South Conference, and they are fighting for one of the last two berths in the Gulf South Conference Women's Ladies Tournament. Here's hoping that they're able to do so. Pardon me, last three bursts. So that definitely bodes well for Montevallo. So they're able to do so. Changing subjects, but staying in the realm of college basketball. University of Auburn had a tough loss today to Kentucky. But courtesy of www.cbssports.com and the CBS network, Auburn should be 18-9 in NCAA and 7-7 in the SEC. Alabama is currently 6-7 in the SEC, 15-11 in the NCAA. University of Georgia, unfortunately, a woeful 1-12, 10-16 in the NCAA. However, the University of Georgia Bulldogs got a huge recruit. I believe some have him listed as number one in the nation, according to DogNation.com. And also, the fans were so upset by what happened at a basketball game that they were throwing popcorn and, plush bulldog landed on the University of Georgia's basketball floor during the game, which caused the University of Georgia to lose the game of all things. But still, you can see that there is renewed optimism, because I don't think they would have been acting that way if they had no more hope of the team. Again, Pac-12. Not sure if giving games today, but Oregon State's currently 8-5 in the Pac-12 season, 9 in the NCAA. University of Oregon 15-11 NCAA and 6-7 in Pac-12 play. Remains to be seen how they're going to do, although Oregon State will probably clinch a berth in the NCAA North Man's tournament. I'd like to cover something else real quick. Shifting gears once again. According to www.domination.com, University of Georgia has decided to switch the Deep South's oldest rivalry, which is Georgia versus Auburn, with the Georgia versus Tennessee game. The dates on that will be switched for the year 2020, I do believe. Be a later date, possibly 2023. I'm not sure the exact date. I would get back with you guys on that in my next podcast, but regardless, a lot of Georgia Bulldog fans are up in arms about this over on DogNation.com. The head writers thought that it's just Georgia's losing its sense of tradition, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to tell you guys personally that this, to me, is much needed. And the Deep South's most rivalry, you know that both Georgia and Auburn are going to give the best shot. Auburn has had a heck of a time against the Tennessee State rival, Alabama. Because they've had to also prepare for us in Alabama back-to-back. And yes, they've had an FCS opponent there in the middle. Still. It's still hard. Because you gotta get back on your injury and whatnot. So this could be a good thing for them and us. I've always felt like one of our biggest rivals was Tennessee anyway. And I've been wanting to see them more towards the end of the year than at the beginning of the year. So we'll just have to see how that plays out. Looking over baseball, Longmont's currently 12th place with a 2-9 record in NCAA Division 2 and 0-3 record in the Gulf South Conference. Meanwhile, the ladies' softball team is currently in 6th place with a 10-5 record in NCAA Division 2 with a 1-2 record in the Gulf South Conference. So, way to go, women. Time now to hear from our sponsors. I'm going to take a break so we can hear from our sponsors on this podcast. All right, guys, and we are back after that short word from our sponsor, Anchor, where you can create your own podcast. One thing I'd like to cover real quick before we shift our attention to games is I've heard a lot about conference realignment, in particular looking at the University of Texas Longhorns and the University of Oklahoma Sooners. I keep hearing that they're not happy with the deal that Fox and ESPN have given them, and they may be looking to join the SEC or the ACC or the Big Ten. And there's been a lot of interesting theories that have come about this off of www.csnbbs.com, the best message board for realignment for conference realignment, in my personal opinion, as well as college sports in general. Really great guys, and Georgia Tech Swagger and JRSEC, and a lot of other good posters there as well. But there's been a lot of discussion about this, and JRSEC tends to believe that once the SEC contract has been redone, that the University of Texas and or the University of Oklahoma will take a long look and possibly join the SEC down the road. Once the Big 12 grant of rights contract is over with. I will continue to keep tabs on this situation for you. Shifting over to video games, I went to www.quora.com and I have seen a lot of questions and answers about the Fallout series. This is kind of referred to, the Fallout series covers the games Fallout 3, made by Bethesda Softworks, Fallout New Vegas, made by Obsidian Studios, but published by Bethesda Softworks. Fallout 4, produced by Bethesda. And Fallout 76. Now, I'm going to say that, in my personal opinion, and as a veteran Fallout fan, I'm going to say Fallout 76 is a successor to Fallout, to the previous Fallout games in name only. For all practical intents and purposes, Fallout 76 should be considered its very own distinct Fallout game that has no tie-in to all the previous Fallout games. But a lot of people have asked on the internet, and even in real life too, a lot of my coworkers have been asking this. Why are Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas such good games? What makes them good games? Glad that it's been brought up, and I want to address it right now. They're good games because, number one, the graphics are awesome. When the people who produced Fallout went to Las Vegas, when they went to Washington, D.C., when they went to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, when they went to Boston, Massachusetts, when they went to Maine, when they went to Bar Harbor, Maine, when they went to California and whatnot, they took very detailed drawings and pictures and photos, and they crafted excellently, exquisitely designed, computer generated graphics of those cities. Very well done. Even the MMO Fallout 76 has some great graphics as well. And it captures the state of West Virginia and also the Shenandoah Valley. Shenandoah Valley Avert's beautiful, and I could see it being in Fallout 76. I really could. Another thing that makes those games so great is that there is choice. In a lot of first-person shooter games, you have no choice whatsoever. In a lot of RPGs, yes, you do have choice, but it's just... the games just drag on, or there's a lot of cutscenes, and you just get bored. In Fallout, they have done a very good job of merging a first-person shooter game with RPG, with a heavy RPG element. And Obsidian really did this very well, because they have experience in RPG games. They've had experience with Fallout games. They did an extremely good job, in my personal opinion. Bethesda, not so much, but they did make a pretty good game in Fallout 3, and they even got better when they made the Fallout 3 DLC. In the Fallout 3 DLC, you can continue on, you can continue and play more. And also in the Fallout New Vegas DLC, which, once you get to the end of the Fallout New Vegas game, main game, it's done, it's over with. But in Fallout 3, you continue to keep on playing. Now, you can go back to a previous save point and do all the DLC. You can do that. And I highly suggest that you do, because if you look at Fallout 3, you can see the influence of the nuclear holocaust that was waged in the United States by China, supposedly. But in New Vegas, you don't really see that. And there's a reason for that, and that's why you need to play Fallout New Vegas. You can see why. Look at all the little computer terminals around Fallout New Vegas 2 and read them. You'll find out why. But if you get the Lonesome Road DLC, you will see why. You will see actual nuclear devastation in New Vegas. You'll get to see it. And it's not pretty, let me tell you. It's very, very desolate. But still, very good DLC to get. Another very good one to play is Dead Money, where you have a bomb collar strapped to your neck, and those quite little radios that you're listening to have fallen to Vegas and have become your worst enemy. And you have a crazy man who won't even let you fast travel. But also, there's another DLC I highly recommend you get for Fallout New Vegas. It's called Honest Hearts. They take Zion National Park, which is absolutely positively beautiful in my opinion, in Utah, and they put a very well laid out, very well fleshed out DLC over there. And all of this just really blends in and makes Fallout New Vegas a great game. Similar story to Fallout 3, where you go and visit Washington, D.C., and you're trying to find your father. In Fallout New Vegas, you're trying to find the guy who tried to kill you. Well, Fallout 3, you're trying to find your father, and you have a whole bunch of adventures in what used to be our nation's capital. In Fallout 4, you're trying to find your son, but I feel like in that game that Bethesda tried to do too much. They wanted to show what actually happened in the nuclear holocaust itself, the nuclear devastation, and then they wanted to show that they wanted to have the character actually talk, so there's just a whole bunch going on. And that's why I think it didn't turn out so well. There's other reasons too, but I'll cover that in the next podcast. When I get to have, when I'll have a guest, special guest, Daniel Thomas Jr. III, who will go into detail why this game was so great. So yeah, for now, this is Seth Holland. Stay cool.